First of all, we believe in Hashgacha Pratis. We believe that the Ribbono Shel Olam relates to each person individually. And when he created each person, he creates each person with his talents and with his abilities. And everything that we experience in life is a challenge, and we're supposed to know how to react to these challenges, how to deal with these challenges. Everything is in his sight. So if the Ribbono Shel Olam created me with a weak head, with a lot of emotion, or with a strong head, with a little emotion, or whatever, that's my role in life. I have to deal with what I have and do the best under the circumstances. There's a famous comment that one of the great Chassidish Rabbein made, commenting on the Pasuk, Anshei Kodesh Tihi Unli, God wants us to be holy human beings, Anshei Kodesh. He has enough angels. He didn't create us to be malachim. He created us as human beings, and with our strengths and with our weaknesses, and he wants us to deal under the circumstances to the best of our ability. Now, I read in the essay, it was very interesting, that some of these, I think the Adderall, gives one the ability to focus better, to remember things better, but it takes away from the relaxation of the person, which helps them be more original in his thought. Whenever you're going to make the different parts to the brain, apparently the difference, not that either your brain works very well in all the areas, no. We know that in learning there are people who are very big original thinkers, but they're shvach and bekiyas. So there are people who are strong in bekiyas and they're weak in chidush. There are people who have both, people have neither, okay. But it's not necessarily connected with each other. So some of these neuro-enhancing drugs give one the ability to focus better and to remember better, but it takes away from their ability to be more relaxed, and in Mela their ability to be mechadesh. The Ribbono Shel Olam is a big Baal Mechadesh. He created the whole world, and he created us, B'Tzelem Elokim. And he instructed us for halachta bedracho. We should go in his ways. We should imitate his ways. What do you mean we should imitate? A little child sometimes imitates a doctor. He puts on a stethoscope and he makes believe he's a doctor. A little girl imitates the mommy. She puts on high heels and she puts on a big hat, a shapel, whatever. She makes believe she's a mommy. Someday he may be a doctor. Someday she probably will be a mommy. And they think that the job of the mommy is to give petch and to scream at the younger children. So they act as if they're a mommy. Why did God tell us to act as if we're God while he's planning to retire and that we should possibly consider taking over his job? No. What it means is that God created everyone, every human being, B'Tzelem Elokim. He planted within us midos of Elokus, and he instructed us to preserve the B'Tzelem Elokim. The part of the B'Tzelem Elokim is the whole Parshas Bereishis. Rav Soloveitchik has in one of his published essays that Parshas Bereishis is chock full of halacha, just like Parshas Mishpatim. A Parshas Re'eh. Every pasuk is another mitzvah in Mishpatim and Re'eh. So Bereishis is also, what halachas do you have in Bereishis? Just that period of Rivi? You don't have any other halachas? No, the pasuk describes that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is very original and he's creative. And he instructed us for halachta bedrachav to preserve the Tzelem Elokim that he implanted within us by being creative as well. So the person who's going to take the drugs, everyone was created with his talents, with his kishreis. So God created me with not such a strong ability to focus and a stronger ability to be original. If I'm going to take this drug, it's going to make my ability to focus stronger and my ability to be original weaker. So God, that's not the nisayon that the Ribbono Shel Olam gave me. He created me with this matzah. We have a pasuk in the Chumash, Rapa Yirape, if a person is sick, so he's permitted to go to doctors. Rambam in his commentary on Chumash thinks he's not allowed to go to doctors. The pasuk means that the doctor shouldn't be so frum to say that you're an apikoris. You're supposed to daven, and the doctor is allowed to treat you. But the patient is not allowed to go to a doctor. The patient should do tshuva, and he should daven to the Ribbono Shel Olam, he should get better. But that Rambam's position has not been accepted that widely. The Vilna Gaon felt like that. The Vilna Gaon followed the Rambam, and he said, why did God create doctors? For the non-Jews. The Jews are not allowed to go to a doctor, but we haven't accepted that position of the Vilna Gaon. We understand, Rapi, not only is it permission for the doctor to treat the patients, it's permission for the patient to go to medical, to seek medical help also. But that's only when he's not healthy. When a person is not healthy, so he's allowed to seek medical help. But we're here talking about healthy people taking these neuro-enhancing drugs. He wants to change.
Are you allowed? What about towards plastic surgery? What's the attitude?
Here in the yeshiva, they used to say it's a machlekes between Rabbi Soloveitchik and Rabbi Soloveitchik. Rabbi Aaron Soloveitchik, the younger brother of Rabbi Yosef Soloveitchik, said that that's how they said. They used to say it's not permissible, and Rabbi Yosef Soloveitchik, the one everybody calls the Rav, he said it certainly is permissible.
If you're in an accident, it's foreign, you're on to go.
Yeah.
But if you want to be prettier.
Oh, let's say a person is born with an ugly face and they're going to have difficulty getting a shidduch, so we would permit that. If a person has a. Person has a pleasant face and they want to look like a movie star. So, strictly speaking, it's permissible, but it's not right. Moshe Feinstein has it true. He says it's not right. It's really chavola. You cause bleeding on the body whenever you do any plastic surgery. So, causing chavola on the body is not permissible. Our body doesn't belong to us. That's another comment I wanted to make in the essay. The author of the essay writes that just like we, the balabatam on our body, we have a right to deal with our body the way we want to. So too we are the balabatam on our brain. We can deal the brain the way we want. We are not the balabatam on our body. There's a famous essay by Rabbi Zevin, Shlomo Yosef Zevin, the one who wrote Hamadim Halacha. He has one volume that's called Or HaHalacha, collected essays on a variety of topics. And one of the titles is Mishpat Shailach. According to Halacha, is there such a thing that I own my body and I can obligate myself to give you a pound of flesh? He quotes all the commentaries on the Shulchan Aruch and on the Gemara and on the Rambam that a person does not own his body. I own my clothing, I own my library, I own my house, but I don't own my body. The body belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're not the balabatam on our body, we're not the balabatam on our brain either. We don't have the right to make decisions not on our body and not on our brain. We daven and when we have to davening, our seres made tshuva, so we come to the culmination of all the davening by ne'ilah. So we pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu after all that davening. The upshot of everything is we pray to God, la'manech dal me'oshik yadeinu. We should stop oshik. Oshik means geneva. All the davening, we're davening about geneva. What's the geneva? So Rabbi Soloveitchik used to say that the body belongs, our body belongs to God. All of our talents, all our brilliance belongs to God. And if we misuse our body, we misuse our talents. We have talents to do mitzvahs. We use our talents to do other things. But this is geneva from God. God created us, so He owns us. And shamalach, maguf shalach, the body belongs to God. And we're not allowed to misuse. Anytime anybody does any avera, anytime a person steps out of line, he's really gambling from the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. So the upshot of everything, the whole aseres made tshuva of davening, we say, yes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, l'man nechta me'oshik yadein. We should stop stealing what's really His. We should act in accordance with His instructions. Yeah. So the it's interesting that a person can permanently, even temporarily, change the different parts of his mind, and the ability to focus will be sharpened, and this will take away from his ability to relax when most of the chidushim come. So I found that part very interesting, that a lot of times chidushim come when a person is sleeping. When a person is doing something else, something falls into his head. He was working on it all day long, but then too much focusing, a lot of times you won't get the chiddush there. When you're in a relaxed position, you'll come up with the chiddush. It's in learning as well as in science, it's like that. Now, the Rambam writes that a normal person to be, the Rambam was a doctor, so he has in his Mishnah Torah, he has medical advice, and he says, the halacha requires a person, the body doesn't belong to him, so the person has to be careful to take care of his good health. The Talmud says that that's what the non-Jew told the rabbi. The simple reading of the pasuk says we should be careful not to worship about the Zohar. The simple reading of the pasuk doesn't say that we should be careful about our good health. But nonetheless, the Rambam quotes this pshat, that what the non-Jew told the rabbi is the correct pshat, and it's an additional level of interpretation. In the pasuk, we have to take care of our good health. So the Rambam says you have to eat properly, you shouldn't overeat, you shouldn't, and so on. Then the Rambam says you have to sleep. So the Rambam says you have to sleep 8 hours a day. So when they quote this in Shulchan Aruch, you have to sleep 8 hours a day. So they quote as a rem, as a pasuk from Tehillim, Yashanti Oz, Aleph Zion is a gematria 8. Aleph is 1, Zion is 7. So 1 and 7 is 8, you should sleep 8 hours a day. So the Vilna Gaon is quoted as having said, the end of the pasuk reads, "Lemant Hoshanti Oz Yonuach Li." If I sleep for 8 hours, then I'll be awake for Li is 40 hours. So that means in 48 hours you should sleep 8 hours. You should only sleep 4 hours a night, 4 hours a day, and you should sleep 8 hours and be awake for 40 hours. It means 8 hours for 2 days. This is famous. The Vilna Gaon strained himself to stay up longer, and he could concentrate. So he used to put it. He didn't have these neuro enhancers at that time. So what he did was that's what he called very strange. He used to keep his feet in ice cold buckets of water to stay awake, and he was able to concentrate. Most people will be groggy a whole day long. They won't gain anything by it. A lot of us know we stay up on Shavuos night, then we sleep all day on Shavuos. So what do we gain? It turns out that at the end of the day, we learned less on Shavuos than we would have learned if we would have gone to sleep. We would have put in a whole day of solid learning. So that was unusual, the Vilna Gaon's practice, to stay up longer than usual. Normal people, we usually assume, God gave me a normal body, I'm not mechuyev to only sleep 4 hours a night. You sleep as much as you need, and you function normally. I found it very interesting. In the textbook, they had a comment on the word addiction, that it means servitude. The original source of the word, the Greek or Latin, whatever, was servitude. That a person who's addicted to something is like an eved. I remember when I took a course in John Donne in the college that we read. John Donne was a Galach, a British religious minister. So he writes a lot about Yoshke, and he writes about his girlfriends. And Senka has poetry about his girlfriend, having a good time with them, and having a good time with Yoshke. So he has in one line about one of his religious poems that he writes, he's talking to God, I think he writes, "Enthrall me and free me. Make me a slave, and by making me a slave, I will become free." So I remember I had Dr. Fleischer, Professor Fleischer. He was a popular teacher at that time. So he said, what an interesting idea this is, that when a person becomes a slave to God, this is the way he becomes free. So one of the students pointed out that that's what it says in Tehillim. The pasuk says in Tehillim, "Ana Hashem ki ani avdecha, ani avdecha ben amasecha pitach de lemarsera." By a person becoming a slave to God, this is the way he becomes free. A person is expected to exercise his bechira chavshis to worship HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If a person becomes so addicted to the pleasures of life, he's always addicted to money or to women or to food or whatever pleasures he has, he's so addicted he doesn't really exercise, he's not really free, he's like a slave, he's enslaved.
That's what the word religion means. It means to bind. Religio is to tie, to bind.
So we feel in a certain sense we are slaves to God, but by becoming a slave to God, this is what frees us from our addictions, and we are free to exercise the Bechira Chavshis to worship HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to worship God. I found it very interesting in the textbook when they were talking about people who go off of the addiction, and then they have the cravings, and then they have a relapse. So it was interesting, they pointed out in the book that the person, or the animal, whatever, doesn't forget about making the response, he just learns not to make the response. The regilis, the training stays there, but he overcomes that training. But then sometimes he can't overcome it. So it's interesting, we have laws about this in Hilchas Nida, when a woman establishes a Besus Kavua. So we have something that somehow in her body, I don't know it's in the brain, something in the body, maybe it is in the brain, I don't know, that brings on her period. So then they have the Shulchan Aruch. Let's say the woman has a Vesus Kavua. She always has a period at a certain time. And then she has not established a different Vesus. Just so many months in a row, she hasn't returned back to the old Vesus. So in the Shulchan Aruch, they assume the old Vesus is still there. It's latent. It can return the Pamachas. That's a surprising din, but that's what it says in the textbook over here. With respect to other things as well. That you don't really forget about the old regilus, it's still there, you learn to not to follow it, but then sometimes you can have a relapse and fall back, like the fellow that chapter that you showed me begins with the fellow who got off of all of his addictions, and then he was going straight for 8 weeks, and then he saw an advertisement that the government hung on the wall about people getting off of their addiction, how to order paraphernalia. So he had such a desire to go back to his, had such a craving to go back to his old addiction. So he took the train and he took the bus and he went back to the old neighborhood and he went back again. So the regilis remains there, just that you overcome it, but then sometimes it can return the pamachas. The regilis can return the pamachas. I found that very interesting. I found it very interesting also.
Don't we have it in Shula, the four stages? The fourth stage is when presented akars, achet. The shvur never do it again, but the fourth way is to, when presented with the situation, not to relapse. I'm putting it in psychological terms, but that's the most difficult, isn't
sure.
it?
That's the most difficult, not to return back. That's what the eager of tshuva is, not to return back to do the avera. Then to have charata, that's a madrega already. To feel bad about the fact that I did the avera, to be embarrassed, to have busha. But the main part of tshuva is to stop doing the avera, not to have a relapse.
So I mean, somebody could, that's why I tell them, if you learn psychology, this stuff, with your knowledge, if I could get any of you guys to go into the field, to combine them, Musser knew all of this stuff intuitively. Everything in modern psychology, if somebody break my heart, could just combine the two, you know, become a rug and get a PhD, the field is just waiting. I mean, Elias Rishnal, a few of you, you go to Sarna, it's just sitting there.
Mm-hmm.
It's all there.
I found it very interesting that they had in the textbook, in the chapter that I read, they had an experiment with mice. So when the mice went one direction, so they would get right away one cookie, and then we'd get it immediately. They'd get some delicious thing immediately. Then if they go the other path, they would get 10 times as much as the first place, but it wouldn't be immediate. It would be after 10 seconds. So the mice tried both out, and then they always went to the one that has the immediate response. So that's the immediate response. We always relate, we see the relationship much stronger than the response that happens later. People, so they describe in the textbook, a person knows that if he's going to have an affair with someone else's wife, he's going to get into trouble, he's going to lose his job, he's going to be demoted, embarrassment, but he doesn't think about that because that's lachazman. He thinks about the immediate fact. Right now he's going to have pleasure. Going to have the affair with the other one's wife. He's going to have pleasure right now. The people have the pleasure that one has as immediate pleasure that he has from the reaction from what he's doing. We are psychologically attuned to that much better than the long range considerations that we have.
No, I'm convinced that Satan sits there with a syringe of dopamine. Learned it a long time ago. That's his greatest weapon. It's not pitchfork. It's nothing else. It's dopamine. That's why heroin gets into the brain much faster than morphine. It's in the book, and I'll tell you, I'll put it on the final exam. You know that when heroin gets into the brain and into the cell, it's converted to morphine? Morphine is actually what makes you addicted, but it doesn't get into the cell because it's not lipid soluble. The chemistry. Heroin gets into the cell because it's lipid soluble. Once it gets inside, then it gets into morphine, and that's what makes you addicted. But morphine can't get into the brain, can't get into the cell. Same thing, testosterone, which makes you crazy males, doesn't get in so fast. It gets in fast. Once it gets into the cell, it gets converted to dihydroestradiol. It's estrogen, which is the male hormone, but it can't get in so fast. It's all chemistry, guys. So I taught him that a long time ago.
Several months ago, I attended a wedding and I was sitting next to Professor Fried from Stern College, who teaches psychology. I don't know how high he is in the ladder of a psychologist. Not familiar, but it's a very pleasant conversation. So he was telling me about an experiment that was done by an acquaintance of his who had a young child, and he had the young child's friends over, about 10 friends over, and he took each one of the children into a private room, and he had some delicious candy there, or cookie or something, and he had a video camera on these children. It's probably against the law. he was videoing everything, and he tried this for each one of the children, and he said, you see the clock? They all knew how to read the clock. And he said, here's a cookie, if you want you can eat the cookie right now, but if you don't eat the cookie and I come back in 10 minutes and he shows me when it's going to be 10 minutes, so then I'll give you a whole box full of cookies, you'll have much more. So and he did this with all the 10 friends of his children. So some of the children, the second his father walked out of the room, they, right away they ate a cookie. Some of them you could see on the video the way they're fighting with themselves, they wait 2 minutes. Some of them wait 9.5 minutes and they can't control themselves and they finally give in, they eat the cookie. And some of them are calm, they wait the 10 minutes, and then the child's father comes and he gives them a whole box full of cookies. They realize when you wait 10 minutes you get more. So this psychologist friend of his who took the videos followed the children. They were young children then, 6 or 7 years old or something. He followed the children years later. So those who had self-control graduated college and they got married and they remained married and they did good and they did well in their jobs. And those who didn't have the self-control, some of them never finished college, some of them finished college, they got a job, they lost a job, they didn't get married, they got divorced. The whole lives were not normal. So you have to self-control. People are all so interested in the immediate fix, the immediate pleasure that they have immediately after doing something, so they consider that much more than the results, which are much more valuable, that will take a long time later. This professor Fried was telling me that when he has a few children, the reason why I'm friendly with him is I once learned with one of his sons-in-law, maybe you only have one son-in-law, I don't know, but one of his sons-in-law learned from him in the summertime, so I was at his wedding, so we got to know each other. So he was telling me when he had little children, so the little baby sits in the high chair next to the father when he says Kiddush, when he says Amaitzi, the baby always wants to have challah first. So he says, no, you have to train the child. First mommy gets, and then the older children get, and you get last, you're the youngest one. He says, when you start training the children, when they're little babies, when they're 1 year old, in self-control, so then their whole life will be different. They have to be trained in that. Yeah. We assume that the HaKadosh Baruch Hu exercises Hashgacha Pratis over each person, and each person is created with certain challenges, certain strengths and certain weaknesses. If a person has a sickness, then he's allowed to take medication, Rapi Yerapi. And that's a machlaikas. And we are noig lahakal, the meaning is lahakal, to take medication. We don't follow the Ramban and the Vilna Gaon. But if the person is not really sick, to change his whole ability to focus and so on, we don't think that's right. The Rabbanu Shalom gives everybody challenges in life, and he gives us challenges that he knows we are able to overcome. Some people have challenges that they're not able to overcome. That's in halacha, we call such a person a shoita. Person who doesn't have chiruch chavshes. There are people that went through the war and they were just crazy. So whenever they'll see, they already came to America, the war is over, no more nuts. When they see water, they'll push everybody down on the run to the water, they'll go crazy, or something like that. So those people probably don't have chiruch chavshes to act in a normal fashion. Their brain was so damaged. So we assume that such a person is a shaita, a person who doesn't have the ability to exercise chiruch chavshes. But there are people, let's say, who have a tendency towards homosexuality. So if they really can't control themselves, so there is such a thing, that person is called a shaita. They don't want to say so. They want to say they can't control themselves. So it's normal. It's not. The Torah says it's not normal. We would call such a person a shaita. He simply doesn't have the ability to exercise b'chira chavshes, to hold himself back from doing the aver. But normally the Rabbanu Shalom gives us all of these challenges in life, and he gives us the ability to succeed and to overcome the challenges. I remember many years ago someone was telling me that someone from Eretz Yisrael was visiting the yeshiva for Shabbos 25 years ago, so he said that there was a Sfardish family in Eretz Yisrael who had a couple, had three sons. So one son was killed in one war in Eretz Yisrael, the other son was killed in the second war, the third son was killed in the third war. They lost all their three sons. So the people came to be in Menachem Olah. They didn't know what to tell their parents. So the people just came, they sat there, they didn't know what to say. So the father of the one who lost all the three children, the father of the children who died, started speaking. So he said, he heard, there used to be a Mekubal in Eretz Yisrael 80 years ago, the Alafendri. He was known as the Sava Kadisha, the holy old man, because he died over the age of 100 years old, I think. He was contemporary Rav Kook. They spoke to each other. And so this Sovakadisha, this Alafendri, once made a comment that on the pasuk that we recite in Davin, Hanoisin Shelag Katsomer Kfer Koefer Yifazer, what does it mean? Hanoisin Shelag Katsomer, God causes the snow to come down like wool. So the pasuk shat is, when the snow falls, it looks like balls of wool. That's what it looks like. So Alafendri said a pshat, the Sovakadisha said, God gives snow in accordance with how much woolen clothing the people have. If people have a lot of woolen clothing, he'll bring a lot of snow because you can control it. You can take care of yourself, you won't catch a cold. If you don't have enough woolen clothing, the Ribbono Shel Olam is not going to give you any soyin that you can't survive. Usually that's the case. Sometimes the Ribbono Shel Olam gives nisyonos and you can't do anything about it. That's called the shaita. Okay, the person can overcome. But normally we assume that everything in life is a nisyon. And it's not right to start changing your whole situation. To the best of your ability, normally, I don't think people are mechuyev to put their feet in cold water in order to learn all night long, in order to only have to sleep 4 hours a night. If a person sleeps too much, so that's a taina against the person. The Medrash and the Talmud has a comment about Yaakov Avinu, when he had the dream with the ladder, with the angels going up and going down. So the Talmud says the angels were going up to see the was the Yuknusha Yaakov Avinu, his image was engraved on the Kisei HaKavod. Then they went down to see Yaakov Avinu, and the Medrash says Bikshu L'Hargo, they wanted to kill Yaakov. V'in Hashem Nitzavola, but Ribbono Shel Olam was on top of the two pshatim in the Medrash, but on top of the ladder, on top of Yaakov. So this Medrash in the Gemara Chulin understands Hashem was on top of Yaakov and he's protecting him. Why did the angels want to kill Yaakov Avinu? They were jealous why his face is engraved on the Kisei HaKavod. No. Rabbi Chaim Elojan has a famous interpretation that the angels went to heaven and they saw that's how the Talmud says that he saw the image of Yaakov engraved on the Kisei HaKavod. They saw what potential this tremendous man has. Then they came down and they see that the man is sleeping. The man with such potential is sleeping. He shouldn't sleep so much. If a person can accomplish a lot, so he shouldn't waste his whole day and the whole night sleeping. He should try to accomplish more in life, but to do like the Vilna Gaon, I don't think anyone is obligated to do that. That was a yotzei min haklal. That was to put your feet in cold water, or to take dura on answers in order to focus more on learning, not mechuyev. And the pashtus is that it's not recommended at all. And the text and the essay, they say we don't know yet what are going to be the long term results of taking all of these neuro enhancers. It could be that it's going to have negative effect on other parts of the body, and they say it does have negative effects on the ability to be original.
What about drinking coffee? Does that enhance?
Not a smart idea to drink coffee all the time in order to stay up more than normal. A normal person sleeps at night and he does his work in the daytime. So when a person, when I don't drink coffee, so when I'm a little bit tired, so I'll drink tea. The caffeine in the tea will wake me up, or I'll take some Coca-Cola to wake up a little bit. But to take coffee in order to stay up longer than normal, I don't think that's a smart idea either. Mm-hmm. Very interesting, very interesting. As the essay was very interesting the whole time, the author of the essay is going back and forth. Then all of a sudden, the last page, they back out, and he says, well, everybody's doing it, so we all may as well all join in. You can't prohibit it, the government can't. He should at least say that we should recommend against it. The last page, I had the feeling as if he's backing out from everything that he said. The whole time he's hesitant. And the last page says, everybody's doing it, so may as well also do it.
There were other articles.